Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When are you gonna come down? When are you going to land?
Save it. Empty net for the Flyers. Extra attacker out. And Oshie with a chance to put it away. We'll do just that.
Scramble, face off, comes back, quick shot. Scores!
Three.
David Perron! It's a tie game!
With the empty net, Nick Foligno missed the net. The Cairn, the Perry out in front, and they score. A tip in for Foligno. And the Blackhawks are up 4-2 with 1:27 remaining.
Alexiev flips across ice, they score! Sonny Milano, and the Capitals are just pouring it on. And look out, it's out of the box. It's Mason McTavish on a breakaway, in scores! Mason McTavish rips the Penguins' hearts out late. A short-handed goal with 11.9 seconds to go.
Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road. Goodbye, Stanley Cup playoffs. Goodbye, Penguins. Goodbye, Penguins. Paul Zeiss back in the saddle across from me. It feels sad, man. It really does. I was watching a team that I passionately follow last night, the Golden State Warriors, and the similarities are striking. A team that's had great success, like a flagship team in their league with a generational superstar leading them, and just enough nights to entertain the fans, and just enough still quality to delude their fans into believing they still have a chance. But the reality is, and we saw it on the same night, the Penguins aren't making the playoffs, and the Washington Capitals are, and they are a crappy team.
Yeah, they're bad, but...
And Golden State got hammered in a play-in game. It's over. It's over.
Yes.
That doesn't mean we can't be entertained. Doesn't mean we can't have some end-of-season fun. But as far as being Stanley Cup contenders in this era, they're done.
Yeah, this is it. I mean, here's the thing to me that I just don't want to hear because I'm tired of this. I don't want to hear, well, everybody's taking a deep breath now because the Penguins aren't in the playoffs. All the other teams in the playoffs... They were shaking in their shoes about the possibility of having to play the Penguins. But now they can all take a deep breath. I don't want to hear that. Because here's what I see. A team whose two goalies are not good enough. They're just not good enough. You know what I mean? Like, this thing, look what happened with Florida last year. This team with these goalies, they were not good enough to make a run in the playoffs. So... To me, I think probably the best case scenario. They got all the way to the end. There's only one game. It's tonight that we don't care about. So they made all 81. They made the first 81 games relevant and exciting the last 3 weeks. And they missed the playoffs. So now they can have a real honest conversation. Okay, this is 2 years in a row now. What do we actually really have to do? And I'm going to tell you, the first place you start, and I don't care what anybody says. I don't want to hear that. It's the same thing. It's the same discussion we always seem to have with the Steelers, right? Your coach, it's not a lifetime achievement award. You don't get to just say, I want a Super Bowl, so I stay forever. Especially in that league. And the bottom line is this. Since they won the Stanley Cup, they've won one playoff series. Then they lost to Washington in the second round. The next year, they lost to the Islanders. The next year, if you remember, they lost to, like, the 24th seed. It was the COVID year. They lost to Montreal. Was like the, remember that? They were like the 25th seed or whatever they were.
Yeah.
Then they lost in the first round to the Islanders. Then again to the Rangers. Then last year, they missed the playoffs. And this year, they missed the playoffs.
Six long years. And really, I guess, so you're saying Sullivan should be fired,
I
yes?
I think, that's where you start. To me.
Let's put that on the table at 412-928-9370, 928-9370. I'm inclined to agree, actually, but I'm wavering on that one, Paul. Here's what I would do if I were them. I would reshuffle his staff for sure, and I would have a short list ready to go early next season. But that's not to say that I would rip them if they did. I wouldn't rip them if they did, because here's the thing. The problems that have emerged aren't getting fixed. They're getting worse. Starting with the power play. We can talk about overtime. We can talk about goaltending. We can talk about depth, like your bottom six. Right. I don't care what you want to talk about. We can even talk about team defense and all the odd man breaks they give up and how irresponsible they are. The power play is there to cover up
right.
a lot of your weaknesses
Absolutely.
As a team. But, and when you're a high-end talented team like this, you have to cash in on the power play. They had the second worst power play in the league. They were bad or average last year on the power play, underachieving. They got significantly worse, and nothing's happened to the coaching staff.
That's the point.
What are we doing here?
My point is this. You know what, Joe? I could live with, okay? I could absolutely live with the idea that you bring Mike Sullivan back on a really short leash with some changes to his staff, and you say the two Stanley Cups that you won aren't meaningless, so we're going to give you a little bit more of the benefit of the doubt that we've given in the past. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you think about it, compare his last 4 or 5 years to Bylsma's. Bylsma's was significantly better. Now you can make the argument, well, the stars were younger then, but still.
No, you're exactly right on that. It's Bylsma all over again with the extra cup, which is significant. He did get it done a second time, but
right. You're
right.
But what I'm saying, when they made the decision to fire Bylsma, if I'm not mistaken, the year before they were in like the conference finals, weren't they?
Against Boston,
yeah,
yes, they were.
Yeah, I mean, okay, they got swept, but they at least got to the conference finals.
Yeah.
My point is, if you look at his last few years with the Penguins, to me, in many ways, they were actually, let's see. So he was with the Penguins. Here we go. Yeah. In fact, let me just double check this. Yeah. Bylsma never lost in the first round.
Is that right?
Yeah. With the Penguins. Lost in the conference semifinals, conference quarterfinals. I guess it's conference quarterfinals.
Well, your point is well taken either way.
No, I guess he did. I guess conference quarterfinals, well, that would be the first round.
Yeah.
Why not just call it the first round? What are we talking about here?
Either way, your point is well taken. That it's been a Bylsma-like run, and that it's not good enough, and that Kyle Dubas is here trying to build an analytics-based organization. You know, they're going to spend all kinds of money on all the deep dives on everything. When sometimes in hockey, it's Lou Lamoriello saying, screw this, I want Patrick Waugh in here as an ass kicker for my team. And the Islanders then going on a late season run to clinch third place.
Yeah.
It's a guy like Jim Rutherford making a hockey decision. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it might be time for some of those tough hockey decisions, the obvious ones, just to be made. And again, I would not, I could not rip the Penguins for moving on from Sullivan. They certainly have to shake up the coaching staff. I like Todd Reirden a lot, and I think he's a pretty good coach. but this isn't working.
No.
You know, and maybe he's – maybe it's more on the players than the coaches, but at some point – you're accountable to what your job description is.
Exactly.
His job description is to make the power play better, and it's gotten significantly worse. What are we doing? And you know, I wouldn't have a problem if they moved on from Sullivan. There's plenty of justification. Teams move on from coaches all the time. He's been here a long time, one voice. He's had great success and years now of failure, including missing the playoffs twice in a row. For the first time since Eddie Olczyk was here, and he had no chance, basically, because the Penguins were at the end of a tanking session and had just gotten sit. And this isn't good enough. You know, maybe it is for some people, though, to still have that little late season run. And I admit it's fun. It was fun for a bit. 412-928-9370. And the other question for me, Paul, I mean, there are plenty of them, but one that I just wrote about this morning is that it's time to move on from Tristan Jarry. And I compared this to Kenny Pickett in that in the world of pro sports, if you're the guy, then you're playing in the biggest games of the year when you're healthy and nobody questions it.
Right.
Pickett clearly wasn't the guy,
right.
We now know. Because all it took to nail him to the bench was one good game from your third stringer against the broken Bengals.
Yeah.
This guy, when you look at Nedeljkovic's numbers over this little four-game stretch he had, going in, including the Boston game, his save percentage in those four games was 85. He got pulled from one. And still, with the season on the line, Sully would not turn to his $27 million goalie for even one start. When the season was on the line, he went with the backup. He went with the other guy.
Right, but
and he told the world in that process, and I'm no mind reader, Paul, but I'm beginning to think that Sully doesn't believe Jarry is the guy.
Right. Well,
so get him out. Right, get him out of here.
Well, again, you got to move him now. You got to move a contract. But I will tell you, one of the worst things that happened for Jarry,
yeah,
is that he got put into that game on Saturday night and really didn't play very well.
Yeah.
Had he not got put in that game on Saturday night, I fully believe that he would have been the guy on Monday night. But
that's a great question.
I actually think that he was so bad. He wasn't horrific, but he wasn't great.
Yeah, he allowed two goals on like 10 shots, yeah, so he wasn't good.
He wasn't good. And I really believe that. If he probably would have been the guy on Monday night had he not come in on Saturday. Like if he just hadn't played, it would have been better than him playing. And
right,
you know, basically Sullivan saying, "Boy, this doesn't exactly inspire confidence in this guy."
Well, I got a question for you in City Limits. Go ahead, off the top of your head, give me Tristan Jarry's defining moment, his biggest weighty win as a Penguin. Right, exactly.
I don't have an answer.
He's going to turn 29 this month. He doesn't have any. Listen to this, Paul. He's never won a playoff series. He disintegrated against the Islanders 1 year, lost game 7 to the Rangers the next. Last April, he lost 3 of his final 5 decisions, including 5-2 to the pathetic Blackhawks that eliminated them.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yes.
This season, he lost 8 of his last 10. He's not the guy. And Mike Sullivan just told the world that he doesn't think that Jarry's the guy. So then you're right. The question becomes, what about the contract? What is it, a $5.3-something million cap
hit
for the next 4 years? Here's what I would say to that.
You know what's interesting is there was a point at some point early in this season where the discussion was sort of, well, Jarry is justifying his contract.
And he was at the time.
Right.
Yeah,
but
it was trending there.
To which I said, wait till the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to make any judgment about him or even this team until the playoffs because he's shown at times in the regular season he can be a reasonably good goalie at times. So, okay, he's had a decent stretch here to start the season, really a pretty long stretch to start the season before mid-February or whatever. But we're going to judge him ultimately. Is he the guy in the playoffs? Well, he wasn't this year. He didn't even – not only did he not justify his contract, Now it's starting to look like one of these horrific contracts that was handed out that's going to be a pain in the Penguins' rear end for 4 more years.
And here's the other side of it, is that Jari may not think Sullivan's the guy either, since every time he looks up, somebody's coming down on him on a 3-on-1 or a 2-on-1 or something like that, or a breakaway when they have a 2-man advantage at the end of a game against Ottawa. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
That legendary game.
Yes.
So it's a goalie-starved league. He's still in his 20s, that's true. And maybe another team says, listen, this guy has a really good career record. He's won a lot of games. He's tied for the league lead in shutouts this season with 6. Devils, Tom Fitzgerald, Maple Leafs, always looking for a goalie. Maybe they believe, hey, we're not the Penguins. We're a better team. And you know what? Maybe Jari on another team, on a better team, it does wonders for him. He's clearly a talented guy. I was going to say kid, but again, he's turned 29 here. So this idea that it's unmovable, the contract, I'm not so sure about that. Maybe you have to retain a little bit of it.
Yeah.
But I'm betting somebody, given their goalie situation, would look at Jari and say, with our team, this guy could thrive. He's a talented guy, wins games. He's won games in this league, 136 against 85 losses. So I'd be looking to move him, Paul, and I'd be trying to re-sign Nedeljkovic, who's playing the role of Mason Rudolph in this little 2-man play. Then you have Joel Blomqvist, who is almost ready. You sign a stopgap maybe until he is. Hopefully you get Nedeljkovic back. This is done. Jari's not the guy.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to end this as their goalie.
Is there other than basically, was it Hextall or Dubas who signed him to? I think it was Dubas.
Dubas went out and visited him.
Other than Dubas and apparently Sullivan, is there anyone that thought he was going to be the guy?
That's a good question.
Because I never did.
Well, maybe because they felt compelled to sign him to that deal, seemingly in reaction to somebody else is going to go out and get him, so we better make him a nice offer here. I would think that I don't want to turn Jari into a complete bum. Like, I still think he's talented. You don't get to that record and have some of the numbers he's had in the league and become an all-star a couple times if you suck. I don't think he does. I just don't think that it's working here. And I think when it comes to the biggest games, he has tended to shrink, honestly. That's what I think. But that doesn't mean all it takes is one team, one goalie-starved team out there.
I think it's different, though. Here's what I'm telling you. I think this is what's different, though. I don't believe that Tristan Jari's a bum. But there's a leap between bum and franchise goalie.
For sure.
And he's somewhere in between.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's, to me, and I've always said this, he feels like a backup, a good backup goalie. That's what he feels like to me. That's what he always has. And especially when you consider his record of, you know, now the one thing we didn't have that we didn't have this year that usually you have is injuries.
Well, he's had some of those over the years,
right?
Too.
But this year, he actually stayed healthy. That was one of part of his MO too, is that he gets injured too much, and that he's not available enough, and that he.
But we agree on this though, that the Penguins are an extremely loose defensive team and one of the most mindless teams around when it comes to turnovers. They're not very good in front of their goalie, right?
Right.
So if I'm Tom Fitzgerald in Jersey, I may be saying to myself, all right, the Penguins, they're not even a playoff. They're like us this year. They stink. But the last 2 years before this, I'm looking at a guy that I knew when I was in Pittsburgh. This is Fitzgerald talking. He was 58-31 the 2 years previous. He had a .919 save percentage a couple years ago. He is absolutely talented. And with us, I think he can be that guy who plays 55 games, gets you a .910, .915 save percentage, and wins. I'm not saying it would happen, but all it takes is one team. And here's what I really believe is that the Penguins have to move on from this.
Yes. There's no question.
By hook or by crook here, you got to move on from Jarry.
They got to move on from Jarry. And again, here's the thing. And I hate using it because it's a cliche, but I don't care. The definition of insanity is doing the same things over and over again and expecting different results. And what's going on right now with the Penguins over the last 3 years, it feels like insanity. Okay, fine. You got rid of Hextall. Wonderful. Okay, you shouldn't have been hired in the first place, but you got rid of him. That's a big shakeup. That's a nice big move. Okay, now what's the next big shakeup? Right? I mean, we can look all around it's like Cal Dubas now is looking, you're Mike Sullivan, right? He's looking over here. He's looking over here. He's looking, even though right in front of him is the next big move you have to make.
But he may want to make that move. It seems clear that Fenway Sports Group does not, so he's handcuffed.
And then the next one is this goalie that we signed is not good enough.
Yeah.
The next one after that is to sit down with a couple of the old guys and say, listen.
But you're talking in terms of Dubas, like go back to the first one with Sully. It ain't his decision on Sully.
I guess maybe not. But my point is, whoever's decision it is,
yeah,
go to the old guys too and just say, we want to move on.
Mm-hmm. And that gets to?
What team would you want to finish your career on? And I'm not talking about Sidney Crosby, but I'm talking about, you know,
Gino and Letang.
Or both, or one, or the other, and figure out if there's some way you can, you can find somebody that'd be willing to take Carlson off your hands.
And then I don't disagree with you on all that.
And all I'm saying is then you can start to really have honest conversations about what it is going to take to rebuild the team. But as long as you're kidding yourselves that you've got the band together, you know, the band that won in, 15, 16 or whatever it was, 16, 17?
Yeah.
It's been so long ago. Those 2 years in the middle. So, as long as you keep bringing the band back, you keep convincing yourself that you're one or two moves away from really getting back to being Stanley Cup contenders. And the worst thing that could have possibly happened here in these last 12 games is that they did make this push and win and get, because I guarantee you, you see, we're not that bad. We just had a couple little things. We're not that far away. I mean, if we just had a couple things go our way earlier in the season, we'd be in the playoffs. We don't need to make you. It's over. As you said, it's absolutely over.
And then it becomes from ownership's perspective and from fans. And please weigh in on this one at 412-928-9370. Future of Sully, future of Jarry, future of Letang and Malkin. And you have to ask yourself, I love Gino. I've defended Gino so many times in this town when he's been shredded. And he had a pretty good late season run. It was fun to watch. But is he a player that puts you on the plus side of winning or the minus side of, like, is he a winning player or a losing player right now? You know what I mean? And then there's the question of, from an ownership perspective, we still get a decent amount of people in the building. They want these guys. They want the band together. Maybe it was worth it this year to be alive till late in the season, to have all those dark winter nights still be somewhat entertaining. It's a tough decision, because if you're the Penguins and you want to tear the whole thing down and you know you're going to lose for a bit, fans are going to disappear from that franchise real fast.
Right.
You'll just have to go on the belief you can get them back when you're good again.
But if you win, they'll be around if you win.
Yeah. Or even if you just win like this, they're still around and they're still entertained and a lot of them still liked this.
It's good, but I'm just going to tell you, it just is kind of a, I guess my question is, what's your goal?
That is the question.
What's your goal?
That is the question.
If it's just to try and be entertaining enough to get to the end of the season and have a few stars that people will buy tickets to, okay, by all means, have at it. Have at it. Keep doing it. You probably got another 2 or 3 years you can squeeze out of this.
Right. And I think they are going to have at it like that.
I mean, it's just so backwards in my mind.
928-9370.
And, you know, as an aside real quick, you made mention of Golden State. I mean, they're probably in a similar situation.
They're in the exact same
right,
situation,
you know,
man. It's so similar, it's eerie. They have a core three
right.
of old guys.
Right.
Steph is Sidney Crosby. Then you have Draymond and Klay Thompson. All three of them were signed to big deals.
Right.
Now Klay's contract is up, and everybody's like, do we get rid of him? What do we do? He's Evgeny Malkin. What do we do with the guy? He's been the second fiddle for a long time, and then there's Draymond. And so I will acknowledge this from an ownership standpoint. It's not an easy decision because fans are attached to these guys, and they're still winning just enough to keep people entertained for an entire winter.
Yeah.
And there's something from the financial side and all that, and the emotional side, there's something to be said for that. But both franchises are done
with this core for winning championships. But here's the thing. If Golden State is going to follow the Penguins model, they're going to sign Klay Thompson.
Again.
And they're going to keep Draymond Green around.
And their coach last night, Steve Kerr, said we need Klay around. Got to have him.
Right.
He went 0 for 10.
He was 0.
He went 3 for something in last year's season losing loss.
He scored as many points last night as you and I did.
That's exactly
But that's my point, though. My point is the Penguins had a chance to get out from underneath it and opted instead to re-sign the old guys.
And I'm saying that I have a degree of understanding for that, even if I don't agree with it. I do have it's a scary proposition to say we're gonna strip this thing down. Then again, you know, you might not have to completely strip it down.
Right.
You approach Evgeny Malkin and say, will you finish your career? It takes a lot, though, Paul. He may say Florida is the only place I would go to. What if Florida doesn't want him?
That's true. Know?
That's the problem. Let's go to a call there, Limits, as the phone lines light up like Malzy in a craft beer house.
We have Brian in Brookline.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Paul. You guys are great together, by the way.
Thank you.
So welcome. So, Paul, you guys both hit it. Like, we're just like when Troy Polamalu was at the end of his career, Hines Ward was in his career. We kept him around like a year too long. I would go back when Rod Woodson wasn't Rod Woodson no more. It's time for us as Pittsburgh to let go of yesteryear. These guys can't do it. Can they do it for maybe 20 games a season? Yeah, that's it. That's all Malkin and Letang can maybe do it for, maybe a couple more. But that's so spotty. And, yes, Sullivan is a systematic coach. The system is broke. We don't score power play goals. That's what we're supposed to do. His system is altered. We need a guy with a different system, a different voice, Joe. So I agree with everything you guys are saying today. That's my two cents.
Do you think, Paul, and we appreciate the call.
Thank you.
That Sully would welcome a change of scenery if you injected him with true serum? He's a very smart man. He has to know he can't win with this group. Wouldn't it be kind of like Jari? Wouldn't it be maybe best for him too to move on? Kind of like we were talking with Tomlin.
I'm fuzzy on this. Correct me if I'm wrong, but do they actually trade coaches in the NHL?
I don't think so.
I was going to say
it has happened, but last I looked, I think it's been nixed that you can't do that.
Oh, I was going to say
somebody may know differently. That's the last I looked.
But I think Sullivan, you know, he says all the right things, right?
Yeah.
He says all the right things all the time. But at the end of the day, it really is a situation where he's got to know that this group, as long as he's got the four that he's got to, you know, basically build the team around, they're going nowhere. Right?
I have to think part of him knows that and part of him would like to be somewhere else. But like Tomlin, he's a very, very prideful competitor and an accomplished guy. and he may feel like he's, you know, bailing. He may feel like he's bailing on Sid or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There may be part of him tugging at him.
I mean, there's something to be said, too, for him, though, about being able to coach Sidney Crosby. You know what I mean? Knowing full well, hey, I go somewhere else, I'm not going to have that guy. You know, I'm not going to have that guy. I mean, think about this. Here's a great question. If you took Sidney Crosby off this team this year, how many wins do they have? I mean, how many games did he just basically carry them and push them over the finish line?
It's a great question. And that's another offseason question, is you obviously sign him to a long-term deal, right? We'll get to that coming up here. What were you going to say?
I was going to say that's the thing with him is he might say, you know, I don't think I can win with this group, but I got Sidney Crosby.